You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition, we're going to be rounding up some of the latest Arsenal transfer news. We're going to be discussing some other bits and pieces, and we're going to be taking your comments, questions, and thoughts from the live chat box. Good afternoon to all of those of you watching us live. A big hello to anybody who's watching or listening to this back later on. Hope you're all well. Hope you're enjoying what started off as a sunny day here in London, but has now turned a little bit overcast. Still quite warm, though. Still quite stuffy. And I've got to apologize in advance, right? Because I listened back to part of yesterday's podcast. And you can, if you turn it right up, especially if you're listening via headphones, you can hear my next door neighbor's dog. And my next door neighbor's dog, I swear to God, has access to my diary or something, because every single time I come down to the studio at the back to record the show, the dog comes outside and the dog starts barking. And it's just too bloody hot at the moment for me to have all the windows closed, all the doors closed. So over the course of the summer, that might become a bit of a common thing. So just to let you know in advance, I do know it's there. I can hear it. It is bloody annoying and I apologize. But would you rather I melt to death? So there we go. So just a little disclaimer in there at the beginning of the show. Let's say a big hello to Julian, to Wilson, to Matty, to Brad, to Syed, to Inter, to Assassin General, to Matt G, and everybody else joining us in the live chat box right now. Hope you are all well. Right, let's get into it. And if you've got questions, hold fire on them just for a few minutes. Let me just round up the latest stories. Let me share with you guys what it is that I want to share with you today, and then we will take questions. In fact, we'll probably dedicate the larger chunk of this show to you guys' questions. So let's get involved in that a little bit later on. Right. Let's start off with Ruben Neves. Now, we've heard Arsenal being linked with Ruben Neves pretty much for the entire course of this transfer window so far. Some reports have emerged over the last few days which claim that Arsenal are in constant contact with the player's agent, Jorge Mendes, very controversial guy, one of those super agents, if you like. And apparently he is in constant contact with Edu over the possibility of getting this move done. Now, we talked about it previously. We talked about at what price Ruben Neves may be available. And it seems as though, by all accounts, Wolverhampton Wanderers are not at the moment budging when it comes to their £35 million valuation of the player. Now, remember, Ruben Neves has 3 years remaining on his current Wolves contract. And whilst there is a general feeling that Wolves are in a place now where they want to hit the reset button, where they want to start again, where they're going to go down a different route, Wolves are not completely against the idea or not completely close to the idea of moving him on, but they want to make sure that they get the player's full value. And as I say, with a long time remaining on his current contract, 3 years to be specific, Ruben Neves is not somebody that Wolves are going to allow to leave on the cheap. Now, what I didn't know is that Arsenal's interest in Ruben Neves previously in the Arsene Wenger days was a lot more serious, I think, than we were led to believe at the time. Now, from a report I read this morning, Arsene Wenger had sent Luis Boamorte, who at the time was a scout, to go and watch him on a number of occasions because he was somebody that Arsenal were really keen on during his days at FC Porto. We all know that he went on to join Wolverhampton Wanderers. We all know that that move, that transfer, shocked a lot of people because he was being talked about as this huge talent, this huge young prodigy who was about to make his mark, make his name, and then he joined Wolverhampton Wanderers and the revolution that followed there. And remember, he joined Wolverhampton Wanderers when they were in the Championship. So that was a huge coup for Wolves, and he's been a vital part of Wolves' rise back to the Premier League and their sort of ability and their sort of the way they basically established themselves as a Premier League club. And you know, for me, Wolves have been very sort of smart, very shrewd in recent years. And we keep talking about Ruben Neves being a huge part of that. He absolutely was. You've got to consider that this Wolves side, in their first season back in the Premier League, managed to finish seventh. In the season after that, again, they repeated that feat with a seventh place finish. Now, last season, it wasn't as great for Wolves, but it was by no means bad. They still finished 13th, well clear of the relegation zone. They were never really in that fight. So you've got to give Wolves a lot of credit, and you've got to give Ruben Neves a lot of credit because he has played a vital part in that. He's been part of a really solid midfield. He's at times produced some spectacular moments, some wonderful long-range efforts. And, you know, we've all kind of looked at him at points in his career so far and gone, yeah, I like this player, top player. We talk about profile of player and we talk about Arsenal looking to the future. Ruben Neves is someone that certainly fits into that category. He's somebody that is still very young. You know, you forget, given how long he's been around, that this player is just 24 years old. So he's got plenty of years ahead of him. And in that sense, I don't think the investment of £35 million seems crazy. You know, he's a player who, as I say, he's got plenty to offer and plenty of years in which he can still play at the highest level and hopefully take and help Arsenal get back to where they need to be. I think stylistically, he fits in with what Mikel Arteta is looking for. We know that Granit Xhaka's move to Roma is edging ever closer. And Ruben Neves, for me, possesses all the qualities that Granit Xhaka does, the tactical awareness, the ability to recycle possession, to play the ball forward, to play the ball in behind the lines, to keep Arsenal ticking. He's got all of those things, but he's also a little bit more mobile. And clearly with Granit Xhaka, we've got to a point where his Arsenal career just kind of has hit a bit of a crossroads, and it's probably the right time to move him on. I saw somebody suggest the other day in the comments on the channel that I'm desperate for Granit Xhaka to stay. I'm not. I'd be happy to move Granit Xhaka on if it means bringing an upgrade. My kind of defense of Granit Xhaka over the course of the last season has always been that he's not been as bad as people have made out, that he was an important part of the team last season, and that he did perform admirably for most of the campaign. And people just kind of refused to see that and refused to acknowledge that off the back of what had gone on previously. And that, for me, is unfair. I think you've got to judge these players on what they do on the pitch, what they do in terms of their performance, and how impactful they are for the side. I think every time you saw Arsenal play without Granit Xhaka in midfield last season, you noticed the difference. And so, you know, we've got to accept that if we're going to upgrade on Granit Xhaka, which in many people's opinions, you know, Ruben Neves is that upgrade, then you're going to have to spend more, right? You don't get an upgrade for less. That very rarely happens. You know, there'll be the odd sort of anomaly where you pick up someone due to the circumstances at a cut price and everybody's kind of over the moon about it. But in general, if you want to upgrade something, you have to pay more money. And Ruben Neves is going to cost more money than we're going to recuperate for Granit Xhaka by the looks of it. You know, and that's just the way it is. I think we should, this is a deal that we should pursue. I am not exactly seeing a list of alternatives that really appeal to me personally as a supporter, as someone who covers the club. I would be okay with this signing. In fact, I'd be quite happy with this signing, and I hope it's one that Arsenal can get over the line. I talked the other day about how in the transfer market, what you end up with is you end up in a position where towards the end of the window, people are more willing to do deals because they need to get this done. You know, sometimes it can work in the reverse. Sometimes you'll get a club who receive an offer for one of their players at the back end of the window and say, well, if we're not going to have much time to identify and then sign a replacement, we need that deal to be worth more so that we can then go and bully our way essentially financially into getting what it is we want and what we need to cover that hole or that gap. So it can work one of two ways. Sometimes you can find the club in a situation where they're desperate to sell. The player's made his intentions and feelings known, and they're just happy to do business. And sometimes you can find clubs really digging their heels in because, as I say, the window in which they can then replace that player if they feel they need to is obviously significantly smaller. So it can go one of two ways. But, you know, a lot of kind of people have been stressed and starting to get a little bit worried about where Arsenal are going in this transfer market. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't have any concerns, but I'm still kind of not at the point of pressing the panic button yet. I'm not at the point of going into meltdown yet. I'll tell you what, though, if we get to a week before the big kickoff and we are still very light, and we talked in the last episode about the five positions I believe that Arsenal need to strengthen in, that's a significant amount of business. And with that window getting smaller and smaller by the day, Arsenal do need to pull their finger out. Arsenal do need to get moving on this. And we need to see recruits coming in through the door sooner rather than later. Nuno Tavares is in. And a nice little segue into my next story is Albert Lokonga is apparently very, very close. Now, reports came from Belgium this morning, and this might change by the time, or this might be confirmed by the time you listen or watch this back, but we're hearing that the Lokonga announcement is imminent, with some suggesting that it was going to come later on Thursday. So again, you might be listening to this after that announcement has come, and if that's the case, great. But at the time of recording, we do know that this is a deal that is pretty much done. All the I's have been dotted, the T's have been crossed by all accounts, and Albert Sambi Lokonga will become an Arsenal player. He is in the UK at the moment, and he was going through a quarantine period as required by government regulations, and we believe that that is coming to its end now, and Albert Lokonga will be in a position to get all the bits and pieces done for that announcement. He is apparently going to wear the number 48 shirt. And normally, actually, Arsenal only give the squad numbers 1 to 35 to members of the first team. But it does appear that they're going to allow him to wear the number 48 shirt. And there's an interesting story behind that. Apparently, he wears that number 48 because it represents the postcode of the region he grew up in Belgium. So that's an interesting little side story there, in case you're sitting there wondering why the hell is Albert Lokonga wearing the number 48 shirt. But that's the reason for it. It is, if that is to be the case, by his request and not the club just throwing a random number at the Belgian. Deal is said to be worth around about 17.5 million euros initially, but it could rise up to around about 22 million euros. So it could rise up to about 20 million pounds. So not the biggest investment, but an investment that Arsenal feel is worthwhile given the potential the player has shown and the fact that he is still very young and has plenty of room to progress, develop and improve further. So yeah, that's where we're at on Lokonga. So that one should be coming very, very soon. What else have we got in the chat box? Let's go over to the chat box. We're going to spend the rest of the show, another 15 minutes or so, talking about your questions, getting your thoughts in. Let's say a few more hellos as well. Big hello to Simranjeet Singh, one of our members, who says, hello, hello, Harry, listening after so much time in Australia. It's 9:57. Brilliant stuff. Big hello to Omar in there, and of course to Sergeus, to Dhruv, to everybody else. If I've missed some of you out, I do apologize. Let's go over to your comments. Let's go over to this one from Inter. He says, Xhaka for £15 million is reasonable. Of course, that's rumored to be around the figure at which Roma are hoping or looking to pay for the player. I think that Arsenal should be pushing for a little bit more than that. I've got to be honest. I'm not sure we're going to get it. And, you know, if the player is adamant he wants to leave and Arsenal are adamant that they're quite happy to move on from him, then, you know, we're probably going to end up doing a deal at around about 15 to 20 million pounds. But, you know, when you think that we're paying around about 20 million pounds for Lokonga, someone who's very unproven in comparison to Granit Xhaka and who there are question marks over whether he's ready to come in and start, I don't think 15 million is reasonable for Granit Xhaka. I think that a player's value should be determined by two things. Number one, what is somebody willing to pay for him? And number two, what is he worth to you? What's it going to cost to replace him with a like for like? And to replace him with a like for like, I think you're probably looking at more than 15 million pounds. As I've said already on this episode, if you're looking for an upgrade, yes, you have to pay more money. That's just the way it is. But I would argue that Arsenal, in a normal market, under normal circumstances without the global pandemic would be in a position to recuperate more for Granit Xhaka. And 15 million for me, I know you say it's fair, but for me, it feels a little bit underwhelming. What else have we got here? Sergius on the transfer market says it's like shopping at a supermarket. If you wait until closing time, you might get a discount item, but it might have been sold already if you wait too long. Yeah, absolutely spot on. Really agree with that. Assassin General says, why is it very, very close and imminent? He needs to be holding up the shirts. Why are we taking so long? Does Arteta value his job? So, talking about how long these things take, right? There's a lot of legal shit that needs to go on. And normally, you would be in a situation where Albert Lokonga would fly straight in from Belgium, head straight to London Colney, get his photos done, get his interviews done. All of that jazz will be done. The registration will take place, all of that. And then the announcement comes. But what you've got here is you've got an overly complex situation now. We've got a situation where there are quarantine rules when you come in from another country. Not all countries, but from some countries. And Albert Lokonga has to do that. You know, Nuno Tavares had to do the same. It is something that the club at the moment can't avoid. And if the club do try and avoid it, which I'm sure, you know, there is some sort of special dispensation they could get, in a situation whereby time was of the essence, i.e. if this was deadline day, I'm sure there would be a way that Arsenal could get special dispensation to do this. But when you're seeing the number of COVID cases in the UK rising again, when you're hearing about people passing away as a result of contracting this virus, it doesn't look good on the club to be seeking special dispensation all the time for the travel of athletes coming into this country when it's not necessary. If Lokonga goes through the quarantine now, you know, it's not the be all and end all. If we hear about Lokonga signing on Monday, does that impact us really? And is it worth the club going, first of all, jumping through the hoops to get it done? And secondly, the negative PR that might come with that? I don't think it is. I think, as I say, if you're talking about the last week of the transfer window and you are in a major, major rush, it's a different story. But I'm not stressing about this. I'm not stressing about getting players over the line. We know that the deal is done. So whether there's a picture of Albert Lokonga on the Arsenal website holding the shirt or not doesn't really make a difference to me. I'm already counting him in to our plans for next season. What else have we got in the chat? Let's pick out some of your questions. Don't forget to put a little bit of a queue. I say a little bit of a queue, to put a queue at the beginning, because it does help me to pick them out from the chat box with greater ease. Just a quick reminder as well, before we continue to take some of your questions, we would like to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, manscaped.com, for their support of the Chronicles of Aguna podcast. For all your male grooming needs, if you're in need of some TLC down there, and you know exactly where I mean, then head over to manscaped.com. Check out their fantastic high quality products, all available at really, really good prices. And if you enter our discount code, which is 90min20, you stand to earn yourself a 20% discount, as well as free shipping on your order. So manscaped.com, check it out for all your male grooming needs. I promise you, you will not be disappointed with the product. We thank them for their very kind sponsorship of the show. And if you do head over to the website, you do use our discount code, you'll not only be doing your manhood a favor, you'll not only be doing Manscaped a favor, but you'll be doing the Chronicles of Aguna a favor too. So head over there and check it out. Let's go to this one from Matt, who says, Harry, what do you think it would take for Inter to be Arteta in? Inter, for those of you listening on the audio, is one of our regulars on the YouTube channel. He says, I think we'd have to win the league, Champions League, and Oba would have to give him one of his cars. I don't think you're far off there. I don't think you're far off at all. Let's go to this one from Siobhan Charles, who says, how many midfielders do you think we need to come in? I think this area needs the biggest improvement. Yeah, talked about this at length on the last episode. The midfield for me is the biggest priority. When you're talking about midfield, you can probably divide it into two areas, right? If we're going to, assuming we're going to continue with the 4-2-3-1. So if you're talking overall, I think we need three. I think we need two to play as part of that double pivot. So Lokonga being one of them, but I think we need another player too who is ready now to come in. And I think we need a number 10. I think it's important that we get those two profiler players in between now and the end of the window. And yes, there are other positions in the Arsenal side that require addressing. Goalkeeper is massive. We need another goalkeeper, even if it is to play second fiddle to Bern Leno, because we're incredibly short in that area, short of experienced and capable deputies. We also need, you know, a centre back, you know, and again, it looks like Ben White is somebody who Arsenal expect to bring in between now and the end of the window. So I think, to answer your question, Siobhan, in terms of midfield, I think we need two players, and that's with Albert Lokonga already signed by all accounts. So we need another one, Ruben Neves, whoever it might be, and we need a player who's capable of playing in that more advanced role as well, in my view. Let's continue through the chat. Let's see what we've got here. Martin says, Harry, what is a reasonable target for us this season? Nobody will argue that Man City, United, Chelsea and Liverpool are much stronger. We're probably behind Leicester and Spurs. Everton are going to buy as well. So is eighth reasonable? No, I think you've got to, we're Arsenal Football Club, mate. We've got to aim higher than eighth. We absolutely have to. Was talking about this the other day on a stream with Dan Potts and Tom Canton over on Lee Judges TV. And Tom Canton said that a good season for Arsenal would be a sixth place, a top six finish, and a excellent season would be a top four finish. And I agree with that. I'm not expecting a top four finish, but I do expect Arsenal to fight their way into the top six. If they don't, what was the point in hiring Mikel Arteta? What was the point in seemingly backing him in the transfer market? Because there needs to be improvement, significant improvement. We finished eighth in the last two seasons. And for a club of Arsenal standards, it just isn't good enough. I'm all for giving somebody time, but there is only a certain amount of time you can give somebody when they're managing one of the biggest clubs on the continent. And Arsenal may not be performing like that at the moment, but we are, without doubt, one of the biggest clubs on the continent. And therefore, we really do need to be closer to that top four. And so if that improvement isn't evident after a second full season in charge, you know, and maybe even earlier than that, if you see halfway through the second full season in charge that the improvement isn't there, then if you've got to pull the trigger on Mikel Arteta, you've got to pull it. You know, that's just the way it is. As much as I actually think there is a good manager in there and I like a lot of the things he does and I like the way he comes across, I'm not blind to the fact that Arsenal are not going anywhere. And there is a point where I too will lose my patience and will reach the end of my tether with Mikel Arteta. There's no question about that. What else have we got here? And apologies if I missed some of the questions. There are so many coming through at the moment. Ashton says, have you lost weight? No, I haven't. I've trimmed my beard down, which makes my face look a lot slimmer. And that's probably what it is, mate. Interesting one from Brad. Do you think the quarantine situation is why Arsenal are shopping in the Premier League more? Not necessarily, because as I've said, I don't think the quarantine situation is a major issue at this point in the window. I think it becomes an issue later down the line when you've got less time to get deals completed. But at this point of the window, I wouldn't imagine that that comes into the thinking much. You know, so you got to wait 4 or 5 days longer for your player. I don't think it's the end of the world, but yeah, it's an interesting point. Perhaps it's something that's being considered, but I wouldn't say it's a decisive factor right now. Adam Chisholm says, afternoon, Harry. Hope you're well, mate. Question, how much business do you think we will do? It is an unprecedented summer after all. Yeah, it is. But there is a massive need for Arsenal to do business. I've talked about the need to bring in five players, five positions in which I want to see Arsenal strengthen. You can check that out on the latest show if you haven't done so already. And I did say during that show that there is a possibility that we won't get all five, but you need to bring at least 3-4 players in. And the point is here, right? Like, we're talking about some of the signings. We talk about Lokonga and we talk about him coming in with a view to being a longer term sort of fixture at the club. And you know, who knows? He might surprise us. He might do a Guendouzi and show that actually, if you throw him in at the deep end quite early on, he can cope, he can handle it. And that would be great. But there's no guarantee of that. But I would be happy for Arsenal to bring in 3-4 players if they were 3 or 4 players that you knew would strengthen the side instantly. And I'm not sure that we can say that about Lokonga. I'm not sure we can say that about Tavares. They strengthen us in some ways in terms of adding extra depth to the squad and probably strengthen us for the longer term. But we need results now. We've just talked about how important it is that Arsenal do push on and show some improvement. So if I'm being honest, I think anything more than 3 or 4 signings is probably a little bit unrealistic. But having said that, I'd rather bring in 3 or 4 good signings who can help the team move forward than bringing in 7 or 8 players who some might work out and some won't, and they're a sort of greater risk. So let's see. But yeah, I'm imagining at least Arsenal would bring in 3 or 4 players this summer. And maybe, you know, all these reports about Arsenal sort of having money to spend and not needing to sell. Arsenal will sell, make no mistake about it. They will sell for cut prices, and they will eventually find themselves in a position where they're having to let people go on the cheap. But, you know, the restructuring of the debt and the borrowing that has been reported over the last sort of month or two has kind of given me confidence that we're in a position where we can at least do the majority of our business prior to having to worry about those sales, although they are a big part of us moving forward as well. So, yeah, 3 or 4 players, I think, is probably realistic. Let's see what else we've got in here. And I want to touch on the Willian stuff, because there has been a lot of reaction to that image of Willian that was doing the rounds. Of course, Willian looking a little bit overweight during actually Arsenal's game against Hibernian that took place on Tuesday. And look, the thing is, you know, he might shift that very, very quickly. I think that in some of the images, it looks worse, and you got to sort of bear that in mind as well. But I mean, for me, when you think about what we've seen there from Willian, there's no way of dressing it up to make it acceptable. You know, you're talking about a guy who is earning vast amounts of money, and you're not asking him to come back 100% at match fitness, but you're asking him to come back in a reasonable condition. And I don't think that's a lot to ask. Look, I'm not one to talk, right? I'm not in great condition, but I'm also not being paid in excess of what, 100 grand to be professional, to keep my sort of body in shape, etc. It's, for me, it's completely unacceptable. And I think if I was the manager of the club, I'd be very, very disappointed if my player turned up like that. As I say, you're not asking for them to come back in peak fitness, but you're asking for them to come back in a reasonable condition. And I don't like the look of it. But as I say, he could shift that quite quickly. I think Martin agrees in the chat with that as well. When they're training at this level of intensity, you know, it can sort of be lost and rectified quite quickly, I think. But, you know, the thing that I talked about the other day was when people come back from pre-season, one of the difficulties that the manager and the staff have is managing everybody's fitness levels and working in a way where they give everybody what they need in terms of the right training for their individual bodies. And look, there are people out there, I'm one of them, who at times, you know, can, you know, 1 minute I'll think, oh, I've lost a bit of weight here. And the next minute I'm like, Jesus, looking in the mirror, my God, I've put on a bit of timber here. And it happens. And people, you know, have issues with that, with fluctuating weights, with being sort of overweight and all that. So I don't want to cast too much of a judgment on that. At face value, it doesn't look good. And I get why a thing's been made of it. And it's frustrating probably for Mikel Arteta more than anybody. But also, you know, I'm sure he'll get that right. And I'm sure he'll be looking in a better place, you know, by the time the season kicks off. So yeah, it was a bit shocking. It took me back a little bit. But is it something that I'm going to go absolutely apeshit about? Probably not. You know, I'm sure that will be rectified. What else have we got here in terms of some of your questions? Daruv says, which team in the current top four is the weakest? Now, of course, the top four last season were Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool and Chelsea. None of them are weak, are they? And Chelsea, in my opinion, could be in a position or probably will be in a position based on the fact that Thomas Tuchel is going to be in charge from the start and the fact that they're the champions of Europe and that they're seemingly throwing their financial weight about. We heard today that they've had a bid, an opening offer rejected for Erling Haaland, the Borussia Dortmund striker. I think that we're probably in a place where Chelsea are going to leapfrog both Liverpool and Manchester City. Manchester United, I should say. I think Manchester City are still the benchmark, I think, in terms of the Premier League anyway. And I think it'll be them and Chelsea probably battling for the top two. Manchester United still in a stronger position than us, I would say, as are Liverpool, as are probably Leicester City, depending on what business we do. And so it's going to be tough to break into that either way. But you never know, because you do get seasons, don't you, where one of the teams that you thought were going to go up, go on and really compete and really challenge at the highest level do have some struggles, do have some problems. You know, Chelsea's first half of the season was abysmal under Frank Lampard. It's why they had to make that change. That change saw them subsequently push on, win the Champions League, and of course, eventually finish in the top four as well. But you only need someone to have a bit of a stinker to open that door. It's just whether we'll be the front runners to sneak in should that occur. That's the big question, isn't it, at the moment? But I'd argue out of the top four, probably Manchester United. Well, I say that, but they're about to sign Jadon Sancho. They might sign Rafael Varane. I don't know. It's going to be really, really tough. Really, really tough. Maybe Liverpool, because you feel like this team of Klopp's is reaching, not the end of its cycle, but it's quite advanced in the cycle. And I think they need to freshen it up. And whether they'll do that or not remains to be seen. But we saw last season a couple of injuries and then they were in big, big trouble. So, yeah, I've talked my way out of saying Manchester United and I've talked myself into probably pointing at Liverpool. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's pick out one or two more questions. Get them in the chat box. Stick the queue at the beginning so that I can pick them out. I can see a few in there already, which I'll come to. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't done so already, please do like the stream. It really does help, especially if you're watching us live on YouTube. And I can see there's over 300 of you with us now across the multiple platforms. But we've only got 56 likes on YouTube. So let's get that up to 100 sharpish. There is more than enough of you in there to do that. It doesn't cost a penny and it really, really helps the stream. So please do that. Also, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the channel. I said yesterday we were edging ever closer towards 14,000 and we're just 10 subscribers shy of hitting that benchmark. So if you are watching us on YouTube and you're not a subscriber to the channel, please do hit the subscribe button. Again, it's completely free and it really helps me in growing the channel. If you'd like to go one further and support us to bring you more content, not just Arsenal related, but football related, which is something we'll be branching out to. We did it during the Euros, really enjoyed it, went down really well. So we're going to be doing more of that. We're going to be bringing you an Arsenal women's podcast next season as well, which will be presented by the brilliant Casey Bourne over at BT Sport. She's fantastic. And she's going to be alongside me to do that next season. She's going to be taking the lead on that to keep you guys up to date with what's going on in the women's game as well, if that's something you're interested in. And there is lots more to come. So if you'd like to support us, you can do so by becoming a member of the channel. And you can choose from any of the packages that are available and see which one fits you best. Right, let's pick out a couple more questions. Rutvik says, where do you think the team which we had last season deserved to finish in the table, Harry? And if it was around fifth or sixth, then surely with improvements this season, we should finish fourth. I do think that that squad last season was capable of finishing in the top six. I do. And yes, I get your theory in the sense of that if we do make improvements, we should be able to finish in the top four. The problem is we're not the only ones that are making improvements. We're not the only ones able to make improvements. You know, Manchester City are a million miles away from us. I think Chelsea, in terms of the quality of their squad, are a million miles away from us. And they're looking to add further. I think Manchester United were ahead of us and they're adding further. And the problem is that you look at what we're doing in the transfer market and you look at Arsenal and you're talking about Ben White and you're talking about Albert Lokonga and you're talking about Nuno Tavares at this moment, potentially Ruben Neves as well. And yes, they are signings that are quite like in most cases, but are they signings that are enough to propel us to that next level? And I would argue that probably they're not. And that's the real sort of big thing here when you're kind of judging Arsenal, when you're judging Mikel Arteta. Mikel Arteta, I'm sure, would love to sign players in the caliber of Jadon Sancho. I'm sure he'd love to sign somebody like Rafa Varane. But your hands as a manager are tied and your sort of decisions will be based on what you know the club can afford and what the club are willing to spend. And that becomes a problem. So yes, we can criticize Mikel Arteta. We could criticize Unai Emery before him and we could criticize, Arsene Wenger before that. But I think it became evident many years ago that in order to compete at the very top of the Premier League, you need to spend vast amounts of money. You need to be able to go out and break the bank to bring in some of the world's best footballers. And Man City have done that for years now, and it's why they are where they are. Chelsea too. Manchester United have done it to a degree as well. Liverpool did it in a slightly different way, but are they going to be able to sustain themselves right at the very top? They finished second, and then they finished first. And last season, they finished fourth. And you feel like Liverpool, given it sort of taking into account their spending comparison to some of the others, Liverpool are starting to even out now. After a really good peak in which they were fantastic, I'm not taking anything away from them, they are evening out again in comparison to what is being spent, what they can spend, and where that leads to them finishing. So it is difficult. It is really, really difficult to break into that top four. And it's why, for me, I just want to see Arsenal challenge for it. I'd be happy with that. I would see that as an improvement, and I would see that as a step in the right direction. And there are going to be people out there who say that I am the problem. There's going to be people out there who say, I am accepting mediocrity. I don't want Arsenal to compete for the title, which is absolute nonsense. It's something that I have to bat away literally every day of my working life. People on social media telling me that I'm part of the problem. I am part of the reason that Arsenal were not competing at the top of the Premier League. That's not the reality. The reality is that I think that I'm realistic enough to see where we actually are and to adjust and temper my expectations to that based on what I see going on in the wider spectrum. So in the wider footballing world, I don't think people, Arsenal fans in particular, who grew up during the Arsene Wenger glory days, have found themselves yet in a place where they can do that. And that's a generalization, right? And I probably shouldn't generalize, but there are a lot of people out there who are like that, who look at the success that we enjoyed in the early years of Arsene Wenger's tenure, saw Arsenal hit that benchmark and feel like that is where Arsenal should be all the time. But football has changed so dramatically since then. We were just talking about the top four. We're talking about Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, Manchester United, even Leicester are in the conversation now. Spurs are in the conversation as a club. And when you cast your mind back to the glory days under Arsene Wenger, it was Arsenal and Manchester United. And that was pretty much it. Beyond that, it was very... there was a massive dip. There was a massive drop off. And that helped Arsenal and Manchester United to be so dominant in that period of time. Now there's more competitors. There's not just the teams right at the top. You know, there's teams that are 15th, 16th in the league. You know, you look at Sheffield United last season, who got relegated after an abysmal campaign, but they still went and spent 25 odd million on a striker. That never used to happen in the late 90s and the early 2000s. The playing field has leveled out as a result of the way the Premier League has evolved, as a result of rich ownership coming in and taking over clubs. Look at Leicester City, for example. Look at Aston Villa now, also looking to go big in the transfer market because they have wealthy and ambitious owners. The game is very, very different. And I'm not being accepting of mediocrity. I'm not saying that I don't want to see Arsenal right at the very top. I'm just being realistic about it. And I think that I'm being fair about it. Now, people would disagree, and that's absolutely fine. But that, as I say, that common criticism that comes my way is that my accepting of mediocrity or my understanding of Arsenal's problems and struggles is a bad thing, and it is part of the reason why we are where we are. And I completely disagree. There we go. Jashar says, and I'll take this one as the last one. Hi, Harry, do you see a clear plan to our current transfer business? I think it's very difficult to see a current plan because of the noise, because of the fact that every week we seem to be linked with somebody different. But the reality here is that Arsenal's plans behind the scene is not something that's in the public domain. So there might well be a plan and we just can't see it. As I touched on it earlier this week, Nuno Tavares was somebody that none of us had any clue that Arsenal held an interest in. But once he signed and the interview was done, it was clear that he was someone Arsenal had identified from before the summer. So there had been conversations going on towards the back end of last season about the possibility of him coming to the club. So just because we don't know the plan, just because we don't see it, because we don't understand it, it doesn't mean there isn't one. But equally, when it comes to plans, they are just plans, nothing more. Until you can execute that plan, which is based on a number of factors, finances, the player wanting to come, the club being willing to sell, etc., etc., if you can't execute a plan means very little. So it's got to be a realistic plan. And I think that we are sitting here going, oh, look, now today we're being linked with him and tomorrow we're being linked with this guy and the next day someone else. And we're all going, well, this is all a little bit all over the place. I don't think that is the case behind the scenes. I like to take, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I like to think that there is a little bit more planning going on and there is a little bit more of a structure to what Arsenal are planning and hoping to achieve between now and the end of the transfer window. But we can assess how successful or unsuccessful this transfer window is, as I always say, at the end of it. That's the best time to look back on it. And even better still, the best time to look back on it will be at the end of the season when we can look back on how those new signings have come in, how they've impacted the team, how they've helped the team, if at all, and whether or not they were worthwhile investments. So, yeah, we'll leave it there. Right, 41, 42 minutes on the clock. So we're going to leave it there. We'll be back later on with another episode where we'll be taking some more of your questions, some more of your thoughts, and got to think of something else to talk about, really, haven't we, between now and then. But yeah, no, lots more content coming your way. As I say, make sure you subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. We're so close to hitting that 14,000 benchmark. We're just four away now, which is fantastic. So I'd love if you guys would subscribe if you're new. Check out the membership proposal, is that the right word, and hit the like button if you haven't already. We've hit the 100 likes, so thank you very much. If you could get that up to 150, I know I'm being cheeky now, by the time the outro plays, I would be delighted. I'll catch you all very, very soon with some more Arsenal content. Until then, take care and enjoy your day.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.